1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Bob and Brian on Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Imagine a whole theater for you and 20 guests. Book your private cinema at Marcus Cinemas now for only $99. MarcusTheaters.com/private cinema.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Radiothon. I don't know how many years in a row this is. Brian Anderson. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
It's not morning anymore.
Oh, that's true. No. It's afternoon. I'm just used to saying morning.
You guys have been in telethon mode for a while. You got to get your haircuts. And
not that bad.
I mean, I think for both of you guys, it's more about like nose hair trimming than actual haircuts at this point.
You know, nose hair coming out of your nose, it's detestable. I don't know why
ears,
more people don't.
Ears are bad, too.
Let's just call it general manscaping.
Yeah. You're on TV, so the hair, you know, that's got to be under control night after night after night because you guys are backlit. And if you got some hair coming out of your ear,
you're going to see
it. It's going to show up.
Well, that's the good thing about sitting next to Bill Schroeder all these years. I feel like he draws. He's the eye candy, so he draws a lot of the eyeballs. I can kind of slip by for a couple of weeks without a haircut.
So he lightens your load, at least.
Load management with Rock next door. General. Plus, the actual size of his head is just, you know, it dominates most of the screen anyway.
What? Let's see. How do I say this? How many more cubic feet is he than you?
Yeah. It's tough to measure that way.
I agree.
If we're just going just straight, you know, he's the Rock, so he's like at least five more rocks than I am. So he definitely gets his space. It's not a half and half scenario. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The booth is cut in half, you know, and then there's his half, and then he sticks me and the stats guy in normal times on the other half. So it's almost, you know, we're kind of occupying.
Did you have a big, you had a big plexiglass wall in between you, right? In the broadcast?
We'll have that again this year.
Yeah, I suppose that's going to be the way for a
while. I think we'll probably implement that forever.
What?
Really? Why?
Come on.
Well, I just think it served a great purpose just for just me and Rock's relationship more than anything else than COVID protocols. I really like the definition of the booth.
I'm not a fan of seeing the divider between the two of you. I like the fact that you could slide a piece of paper to one another or something like that.
I'm going to put a post-it note up on the glass.
We do. Oh, nothing changes. Changes at all. The plexiglass is all good. And you know, I got no issues with any COVID protocol that anybody's got functioning, but we've always had the imaginary line between us anyway. You know, we can't let our stuff drift over.
Right.
Like, hey, man, like if paper gets over too far on your side of the table, do you give him the, hey, man, what are you doing? Hey.
Yeah, I hand it back. He throws mine out the window.
Right. Well, you can't just take all the personal space of everybody.
That's right.
So I don't know
if he's got a whole thing over there, man, on his side. He's got the fan, the breeze machine. He's got, you know, he's got his little stand for his phone. He's got his Yeti. He's got all kind of Rock stuff. You wouldn't even know that I even exist in the booth. There's no pictures of me anywhere. There are no none of my memorabilia. I don't have any memorabilia. But it's all about Rock.
But you get around a lot more than he does. You do big network stuff, and you call big games.
You've got basketball games. You've got games of the week. You've got golf. Yeah. All those things.
I got
things.
One tonight, actually. I'm doing a TNT game tonight. Doing
where?
The Pelicans and the Miami Heat from my basement.
What?
I'm not even joking.
I know you're not. Marv Albert had his phone ringing in the background the other night.
I've done probably 30 games from my basement already. It's amazing technology, but I'm ready to break free and see athletes in front of me for a change. I'm actually leaving for spring training tomorrow morning. I'm going to go to Arizona, and they're on the air today, by the way. Jeff Levering's going to call the game with Rock. They're on Fox Wisconsin, which will soon be known as Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Okay.
But that game is happening today, and then I'm on the air Saturday, so I'll do Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. I'll be able to do 3 spring training games. And then
with a game right in front of you, like it's supposed to be, live action.
That?
With a game in front
athletes,
of you, as
when you can see athletes, and so I can't. I'm completely isolated. We have no access to the players, Sophia does. She's down there, what we call tier two. So she has access to the players and is doing a bunch of interviews and, you know, doing a great job as always. But we're pretty much isolated, hotel to booth, and that's it. But it'll be good to get down there and see some games.
These basement games, how do you isn't there some horrible delay? I mean, you're looking at a monitor, obviously.
Better. I mean, the technology is amazing how they do it. The delay is real, though. It's about a second, you know, about a second, which doesn't seem like much. But in basketball, especially, it comes up so often. One of the challenges is I hear things faster than I see them. So the audio, for whatever reason, travels faster. So you get into like a late clock scenario where you're, you know, late shot clock or buzzer beater. As I'm seeing it, I'm hearing the sound, the horn go off or the buzzer go off or a foul or whistle, and then I see the action about a second later. So I'm never really confident that the guy got the shot off in time, or, you know, you just kind of got to wait. It changes your mechanics a little bit, but overall it's been really good, and they've put a lot of money into it to make it work. And, like, tonight Grant Hill and I are doing the game. He's in his back house in Orlando. He's got a home kit. I have mine in Milwaukee, and we've done a lot of games that way. And, you know, you just got to be a little more specific about when you stop. I kind of liken it to, it's like talking on the cell phone with your grandmother. You got to really be clear when you're done speaking so the other can then start talking. So that's kind of where we're at.
Totally understand what you mean by that. But then, you know, talking on the phone with grandma, it's a lot slower paced than a basketball game, so that would just seem like a huge problem.
He's right, Brian.
Absolutely. It's just different. It's not hard. I'm glad to be working. Everybody's happy that we work for a company that has the resources to be able to pull this off and bring entertainment to the fans and be able to do games. There are things that you miss, though. You know, every game, it's like there's two or three things I can't see. We had an ejection the other night. Devin Booker got thrown out of a game with the Suns. We never saw it. We never saw an official throw him out. Yeah. So all of a sudden he's walking to the locker room. We have no idea what happened.
I guess
so,
that's
just got to be patient.
Yeah. So I would think you'd miss the emotion of the game, and it might be weird for your, you know, family to hear dad yelling down in the basement all alone by himself.
Well, they know you're working.
When the dog starts barking, or, you know, it's you start getting loud down there. It's an odd dynamic.
When you
I don't think I've left my house in months.
When you go down to the basement to do a game like you're going to do tonight on TNT, mm-hmm. do you instruct your family, I'm working, I need it quiet. You can't have friends over.
No, just the opposite, actually. My family instructs me to keep it quiet and get lost.
Right.
I don't tell my family anything. First of all, the way they've set it up down there, we actually had a couple of field engineers from CNN. So I work for Turner Sports, which is Warner Media, which also owns CNN. So they sent some of their crazy talented IT people who set up like war zones and political landscapes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing all kind of crazy stuff out on the field. So they set this thing up, and it's completely soundproof. There's acoustic treatments everywhere, and they can hear me, but, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, you're never going to hear a barking dog or a barking wife or anything like that.
Okay.
So,
what do you do as far as, what about spotters and stuff like that? How does the truck communicate with you? You know, is that different?
It's way different. So I'm down there by myself. The truck, let's call it the truck, is actually, they're all in a studio, producer, director, graphics. They're all in a studio in Atlanta, which is our home base, Turner Sports home base. So they're in Atlanta. Then you have the folks that are on site at the arena. So you have camera operators, you have a sub-mix, so all the sounds from the arena going into an audio booth, and that person is mixing that up, and then he's mixing our voices in, and then sending all that back on a fiber line to Atlanta to be released to the world. As far as stats goes, my statistician, he's in Orlando. He's just on a simple Zoom call, and we have it routed where, so through the Zoom call, because you can change the audio source, we have basically what I hear in my left ear, so my, what we call IFB in the industry. But basically, whatever I hear in my left ear, which is producer, director, myself, my partner, that's all funneling through into my stats guy through the Zoom call. And then so he can hear all the communication. And then he creates just a share screen, and he types notes as if he would during a regular game. And then I have him into my right ear through the mixer, just a, like a right channel. This is very technical.
It is, but getting, there's a lot going on.
Me, but is that?
He can key open his Zoom microphone. He has a little headset. He keys that open, and that comes into my right ear. So it goes through the mixer, which is right channel only. And then he can say things like 10-0 run, or, you know, whatever little quick nugget he wants to say while we're going into a commercial. So,
but that's
it,
not
it works any, pretty well. It's not the same, but it works pretty well.
That's not any different from a regular game. You're getting information in your left and right ears all game long, all the time, every season, right?
Rarely the right. You're getting information in the left ear from the producer, who on television you're getting cues on what's coming. So lineups, sponsors, highlight packages, that's all coming through your left ear on a typical game.
Okay.
What we added here was the statistician, who would normally be sitting next to you and you could just communicate with.
Oh, okay. And
he's in my
something.
Right ear now. So it's a lot to process in your head, but you trust the people you have working for you and with you that, you know, the statistician's not going to talk to me when the producer's talking to me. That's why he can hear all that. And so you just kind of just dance, you know, you're trying to get in, get out, be quick.
You know, Brian,
I still have to concentrate on what I'm saying as well.
I'm going
to
try and keep that in mind as I watch these games from now on and try and be more generous with my, this guy's terrible.
Yeah,
he's got a lot going on in his head right now.
Especially in COVID times. I mean, everybody give the thumbs a rest on the TV critique right now, because I think the way we're, I don't want to, like, make it a big deal, but what we've been able to pull off in sports television is phenomenal. And we've really been able to, you know, provide some entertainment that would be really impossible 5 years ago. So the technology's advanced, and I've been a part of a number of bubbles already. I was in, you know, we did the match, the golf event with Tiger Woods, and that was Memorial Day. That was the first bubble that we tried. That led to the NBA bubble. And then I was in the MLB postseason bubble. And then that kind of like led into the way we're doing games now, which is isolated home setups, home kits. So yeah, there are challenges, and it doesn't sound exactly right, but it's good enough right now. And we're keeping everybody as safe as possible.
It's really technically advanced and complicated, but somehow it reminds me of the guy, you know, reading the ticker tape and then describing
the
basketball game.
Yeah, the recreations.
Know. Right.
Yeah. It feels like that sometimes, especially when your monitor goes out.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
you have a stats monitor. The stats monitor that's in front of you is, you know, in the NBA is a general community stats page that all the broadcasters, the trucks, stats guys look at. But down at the bottom of that, they have a running play-by-play log. So it's like the last four plays at the bottom of the actual stats monitor, you know, of all the box score, basically. So I'm on that thing all the time. Like, what just happened?
I used to think you announcers had easy jobs.
Yeah, no
it it actually sounds fairly complicated now because of this damn COVID thing going on.
It's really, I don't know. What I've been saying is that I used to have to worry about, you know, maybe three things visually, and the floor, the monitor, the interaction with your partner. Now it's about, I think it's eight things that I have to visually absorb. And then from what you hear is, you know, there's just more in the soup to listen to and try to sift through. Again, it's all good, man. We're going to get back to normal pretty soon.
Well, that's some talent you got there, you know.
I think the rest of us
would need Focus Factor and Ginkgo Biloba and all kinds of,
you know, Brian, I'm just going to tell
elixirs.
I just want to tell you this, Brian. You know, you keep your head about you. You're going to catch a break one of these days, okay, in the announcing world. That's all there is to it. Yeah, so it's going to happen. I don't know if you heard, maybe you did already because you're in town, 25% at American Family Field this year as far as the crowds going. So what is that, 14,000, 18,000? I don't remember the number exactly.
I think it's more like 11, 12,000.
11 or 12.
They were hoping for 35%, and they made a pretty detailed presentation to, the government, local and statewide government officials. And I think they're happy to get what they can get. They wanted it more than 10, and they certainly were hoping for 35. They've drawn out there's my end of the swear pot it goes. I almost called it Millet Park. But American Family Field is laid out much differently than most, and so obviously it'd be open air because even though it's cold, you can always open the panels, and then when it's decent, the roof's open. So I think they made a strong pitch, and I think as the vaccinations keep rolling out, they'll continue to add and, I think if people will just do their part. I mean, I really, that's what it boils down to. Just look after each other and wear a mask. And, I think that's really the main thing is to continue to distance and wear a mask and get the vaccinations. And then I think we're going to get back to normal and we're going to have big crowds. And I can see us at the end of the year or second half with big crowds, barring a setback, And so I think everybody's encouraged about where it's all going. From a television perspective, we're going to continue to do all the games from American Family Field. So even the road games, we're going to stay in Milwaukee. They're just not quite ready to change that yet just because of the unknown. But for the most part, I think it's going to start to look and feel a little more normal, I hope.
Are you going to be ready to hit the road if that changes during the season where they say, no, you can travel with us now. You can do the games in the ballparks where they're going on, even on the road.
I'd be ready, but I think because of the way television works, you have to plan these things out so far in advance with production trucks and crew. I think they've committed to go ahead and just what we call the world feed. So there's one crew in each ballpark basically shooting the game, producing the game, and then you have the multiple crews home and visiting TV, home and radio, home and visiting radio, so four different crews, and then if you have Spanish language or alternate language, everybody's going to be looking off the same images and the same cuts of the game from the director. So I think they're pretty committed to do that this year, and that's okay too. It's not ideal, but ultimately we'll be back in the ballparks, and baseball is the hardest sport to do off a monitor because the ball is going everywhere. There's more players involved.
Yeah.
Most challenging.
Yeah, plus you can't see runners starting if guys are shifting, all that, the nuances.
That's the one.
The
bases loaded, base hit down the right field line is the scariest one because you're trying to imagine what, you have monitors that show different parts of the field, but training your eyes to recognize whether was that guy at first? Did he start at first? Now he's between second and third. Is he going to be able to score? Where's the throw coming in? So you're trying to do all that and make a call. You don't even think about it when you see it live because you can just survey the whole landscape. But those are the most challenging. Plus, like borderline foul balls or line drives that may skip on the ground, that are picked as opposed to caught. You don't really know if those are picked or caught. So all these little nuances you never even think about when you're watching the play in front of you kind of changes your perspective. I know I miss it. I can't wait to get back to normal, man. There's so many things that stretch my brain during this time.
You glossed over something early on when we talked about, getting back to work and the games being on Fox Sports Wisconsin. You said soon to be Bally Sports. What's that?
Yeah, so Sinclair, the company Sinclair, bought all of the formerly Fox Sports regionals all over the country. So I think there are 13 regionals, maybe 14. So there are a ton of teams that had contracts on those regionals, like the Twins are on a Fox regional, Fox North, there's Fox, Fox South, there's Fox Arizona. So all of those regionals were sold by Fox and bought by Sinclair. And we operated under Sinclair last year. They just weren't prepared to change from the Fox Sports Wisconsin model. So they're ready to do that now. And we just, the Brewers, we just signed a deal with Sinclair to extend the TV contract. So I think beginning this opening day is really their big launch with their new branding. So it's going to be, I think, you know, all spring training, it'll be called Fox Wisconsin. But the goal is, and the idea is to ultimately rebrand that to Bally Sports Wisconsin. Bally has become the naming rights of the network. So they sold the naming rights to Bally Casino, you know, Bally Gaming.
Okay. All right. So that's where Bally comes from, and not
Sinclair. Just like American Family Field is, you know, the name of the field. It's they sold the naming rights to the entire network.
You're doing tournament games this year, Brian?
Yeah, NCAA tournament's going to be in a from bubble. That'll be...
Are you going to be in your basement for those, or are you going to be in Indiana?
No, it'll be in a bubble. We're doing a bubble very similar to the NBA bubble, so I'll be down there for 3 weeks. I think I leave on March 16th, and I'll be there till March 30th. So I'll go all the way through the Elite Eight. I'll do the Elite Eight game, and then Jim Nance and company take over for the Final Four on CBS and the championship game. So that's going to be great. Everything's going to be circled around Indianapolis. There'll be seven arenas involved and seven courts, I should say, six different arenas.
Good to get out of the basement,
though. One of the setups at the football stadium actually has two courts. So they'll divide it with a curtain. Okay. So that's going to be great. Who knows what that's going to look and feel like, but it won't be traditional, you know, Thursday through Saturday anymore. There's going to be, or Sunday, there's going to be Monday games. And there'll be, I think we're adding some crews and, you know, like backup crews in case something happens. But basically we'll go isolate, test, be in a bubble, very similar to the NBA where everybody there is, you know, once you're in, you're in.
How many coronavirus tests have you had since this whole thing started?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At least. I just had one Tuesday, which was negative, thankfully, from the Brewers, so I could travel there tomorrow. Probably 50.
Oh, that's under what I thought you would have answered. I would have thought
we had it every third day in the NBA bubble. And so, and I really haven't had one because I've been working from home. I really haven't had one for a few months now. But, yeah, it was – we were going pretty heavy there through – So I did basically nine straight weeks in bubbles, NBA and Major League Baseball, and we were testing every third day for 9 weeks.
Was that the whole up the nose?
Yeah, swab. Up the nose.
How many
we do a spit test with the Brewers. I like those better. Those are nice.
Did you ever sneeze when you had the thing up your nose, Brian?
In the 50 times? It made your eyes water.
Shoot a Q-tip across the room. Yeah, I just had one of those, and that was enough. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Go rest up for tonight's game, okay?
Always a pleasure.
Look forward to
always a pleasure.
Hearing
Best
you.
Of luck to the Mac Fund and all the fundraising efforts.
Thanks all right, Brian. Much. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Brian Anderson, he's going back to work. He'll be in Arizona tomorrow. He's got Brewer stuff to do. He's got NBA stuff to do. He's got college basketball to do. We didn't even get into golf yet, so thanks for the time. It's